Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jim Wallace, who is the President and CEO of Sojourners and Editor-in-Chief of Sojourner Magazine. Jim Wallace recently served as the President's Advisory Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships and currently serves as the Chair of Global Agenda Council on Faith for the Working Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum. His best-selling books include The Great Awakening, Reviving Faith and Politics in a Post-Religious Right America, God's Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It, and his latest, Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street, A Moral Compass for the New Economy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Wallace.
Thank you, Ian.
And it looks as though, paradoxically, the people who essentially created an economic hostage crisis extorted their demands at the threat of ruining the full faith and credit of the United States, looks like they're going to be rewarded. I mean, I'm astounded. What's happened? I want to talk to you about the country's moral compass, but let's start with its political compass.
Well, as you just suggest, the people who got us into this mess are the only ones whose lives have returned to normal, and everybody else is still struggling here. We're watching. I'm watching as we speak these debates now in the Senate this afternoon, and you know, the markets are watching, and the Democrats, Republicans are watching. The media is doing its political handicapping: who's going to win, who's going to lose. The world is watching, and in the faith community, we form the circle of protection around those who are at the other end of the spectrum. Those who are most vulnerable and who are really in trouble in this debate. And we say God's watching this debate as well. We've been meeting with the president, with Republicans, Democrats. I finally got my meeting with Mitch McConnell. It was in the makeup room of CNN this morning. I was leaving, and he was coming. And I said, Senator, the faith community is pleading with you to protect low-income people. In this final deal, this is for us imperative. And he kept smiling and saying, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." So I hope he paid attention.
Well, he was confronted yesterday, I believe it was, where by one of the network's reporters who both he and Boehner were standing there with a sort of deer in the headlight look when they were asked about. Will our troops get their paychecks? And you know that's the bottom line in American politics. Is the moral issues aside, it's when it comes down to the boys and girls fighting and dying for the United States. That's kind of sacrosanct. And frankly, they looked stunned. But obviously, there's some real moral questions raised by the actions of. You know, let me put it the way that I put it and see what you think. A few wealthy white men who call themselves Christians, who all of whom have full health care coverage, I might add, who are about to unnecessarily impoverish millions of their fellow Americans.
The broken system, as everyone now refers to in Washington, D.C., it's more than broken, it's corrupt. It's corrupt, just as you suggest, because literally, look at what they're about to do. They're going to cut $1 trillion right off the bat, and there's no revenue increase here at all. Then they want to cut $1.8 trillion more with a special super committee in the next few months. But they're literally willing to protect tax loopholes, corporate loopholes for the rich, while they devastate the safety net for the poor. I mean, this isn't just rhetorical. This is what they're doing now, and so. I've said off, you know, again and again, is every line item of military spending, for example, worth more than 10.4 million malaria bed nets, which they're about to cut, which keep kids from dying from malaria? You know, women and children getting crucial nutrition. All this is in jeopardy because there aren't powerful people defending those whose interests are just pushed to the side. So it really is now. I mean, when President Obama mentioned he might take a look at tax deductions for private corporate jets, within 48 hours, there was a New York Times ad saying private jet industry mobilizes. And so agribusiness is watching, and the military-industrial complex is watching, and everyone's watching for their own interests here. And the faith community, fortunately, has come together on this crisis, even people who disagree on other things, because somebody has to watch out for what happens to the poor. And I read to the president this text from Isaiah, chapter 10, which I think must have occurred in a previous budget debate at some point in ancient times. It says, "Woe to you, legislators of infamous laws, who refuse justice to the unfortunate, who cheat the poor among my people of their rights, who make the widows their prey and rob the orphan." That's what's happening right now. So from a scriptural point of view, I say, woe to you, legislators.
But Jim Wallace, all of those people that we both referred to, the people that are these Tea Party legislators in the Republican House and others, who are about to impoverish millions and millions of their fellow Americans completely unnecessarily for some abstraction known as a deficit that's largely a hoax. We should actually be stimulating the economy or spending money, not cutting, but that's beside the point. The point I wanted to make is that everybody is an American. They live in this community that's called America, that's based on the mythology of the American dream, the middle class, Horatio Alger, all of that notion of a meritocracy. That's all out the window. So at what point do you think there's obviously we would hope that a moral appeal would work, but how about a cultural appeal to saying, you know, what have we become? Do you really want to live in a third world country? Do you want to step over your fellow American who's lying on the street in front of a restaurant that you're going to, an appetizer will cost as much as a family could live on for a week?
Well, we're watching politicians here in Washington play political chicken with the common good. And what's being lost here is two things: any notion of the common good, which is both a religious and a moral concept that we have obligations to each other, but also any defense of those who are outside places of political clout. So what's going to happen to us is increasingly we're going to see social inequality grow. And so there'll be a flurry of economic activity at the top and increasingly a polarization in the country, with more and more people slipping into poverty. We're at a place now where the gulf is wider than it's been since any time for almost 100 years. And that's going to widen further now. And that chasm and that gap means a real loss of quality of life for our citizens. And yet the busiest restaurants at the top are acting unfazed by this. So I really think there's a real social crisis now. Inequality is a fundamental religious and moral issue, and it's growing like never before, and these decisions are just accelerating all of that.
Well, Jim Wallace, on today's program, the president has taken a beating from our first guest, Paul Light, and then Jeffrey Sachs really went after him and suggested that he's destroying the legacy of the Democratic Party and opening up the possibility of a third-party challenge, and that the two parties are both corporate-owned and they both deserve to go down. You've met with the president. What's your feeling about him as a human being, as a man of conscience? I've always assumed that he was a decent guy.
Well, in the meeting with the president last week, we had, faith leaders from across the entire spectrum, the Catholic Conference, National Association of Evangelicals, Salvation Army. It was hardly a religious left coalition. And he said to us that the sacrifice should not be borne principally by the least of these. He's quoting the Gospel of Matthew there, which, of course, we all knew, and that's why we were there, when Jesus says, as you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Now, Gene Sperling was there, his whole economic team, and they were saying they agreed with our principles in the circle of protection, that the poorest and most vulnerable have to be protected. But we won't know until tomorrow or the next day what the fate of those people are. I do know this, that if you cut $1 trillion and 1.8 trillion more, almost $3 trillion, and you don't even close corporate tax loopholes or address military spending, the sacrifice will fall on those least able to survive that sacrifice. And so, the devil is in the details, they always say, and I think now literally so. And so if the president and the Democrats, too, don't find their voice and don't protect those who are most vulnerable here, I think it is an indictment on really the whole political system, which seems to only listen to those who have such enormous resources. So, we're going to need a movement here, a movement of conscience, of people of faith and people of goodwill in defense of the common good, which is being sacrificed. As I said before, this is not just a broken system. It's a corrupt system. And it is really under the control of those who run the economy. And, I have these CEOs, the World Economic Forum, who come and sometimes they come and talk to me like Nicodemus at night. They're confessing the sins of their own banks and the rest. And so even some of them realize what's happening now is just wrong. And so there's going to be a need for really a prophetic movement of truth telling to see where we've come. This is in some sense we're almost no longer a democracy anymore, because corporations are now regarded by the Supreme Court as persons, but these persons never die. They just go on right. And on and on.
Well, but at the end of the day,
so strong now.
Sure, but at the end of the day, if the race is between money and people, there are more people than there are people with money. And really,
that means movement. That's
people have got to wake up, and they've got to take their own destinies in their hand and not be victims. I mean, don't you think? I've got to leave you now.
That's why just lobbying in Washington in this present climate won't do it. There's got to be a social movement now to change the dynamics of power in this nation.
Exactly. I thank you so much for joining us, Jim Wallace.
Thank you.
Again, Jim Wallace, President and CEO of Sojourners, Editor-in-Chief of Sojourners Magazine, and the author of Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street, A Moral Compass for the New Economy. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began with an expert on government, Paul Light, to talk about the politics of it and of this hostage crisis on Capitol Hill that seems to be about to end. Obviously, on Wednesday, the Social Security checks have to go out and the government's run out of money. But the amazing thing is, and this is what we discussed, is how come the Republicans who brought on this artificial crisis, manufactured it, used it to extort demands, how do they win? How come the public hasn't turned against him? And it appears that the public is basically disgusted with all politicians, and perhaps to some extent because of our press having to give everything equal sides, that the public haven't got the clear message that it's the Republicans, stupid, who are getting away with threatening to crash the economy unless they get 100% of what they want. It's a very depressing situation, frankly, and quite shocking. The next guy we had on to gave us an overseas perspective on it was Jeffrey Sachs, who was just in Africa and had been in Greece and in the Gulf. And he thinks that the people around the world cannot believe that the United States has this self-inflicted wound. But he was really disgusted with Obama and disgusted with the Democratic Party, making the argument that, in fact, the Democratic Party has been bought by Wall Street and the Republican Party has been bought by big oil, that they're both corporate-owned. And the sooner we form a third party and have a real party, the better off we will be. He was pretty uncompromising in his disappointment at this suicide pact that Obama is apparently going to sign, where the austerity that's going to kill what's left of the economy it will be, a victory for the oligarchs. And then we talked about the morality or the lack of morality, the moral questions raised by, you know, the idea that a few wealthy white men who call themselves Christians, who all have good health coverage and et cetera, they're about to unnecessarily impoverish millions of their fellow Americans for ideological reasons. It is really a disgrace. And Jim Wallis, the CEO of Sojourners, who was recently in the White House meeting with the president, getting there, where the president vowed, quoting from the Bible, that he would protect the least among us. That doesn't appear to be the case. It doesn't look like the president's gone to the mat to raise revenues from the wealthy, from the wealthiest, the 1%. They've done so well. It looks like the cuts are going to come from the poor and the rich, laughing all the way to the bank. And that's America today. I would like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available at ianmasters.com, where you can sign up for podcasts and contact me. And I'll be back tomorrow with another background briefing. Bye for now.